You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 2 of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. We've got bigger guests, bigger experiences, more culturally insensitive impressions of nationalities. It's going to be the best season of this show yet, and we're stoked that you could be here for the new year for this first episode of the new season. 365 Days of Horror, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. This is the season where people stop being nice and things start getting real.
Goddamn right. Do you have any culturally insensitive impressions you'd like to begin with? Because I've been practicing a couple, you know, and I think this is what the people need. They were a little sick of my one, generic Italian, horrifically insensitive Italian man.
I think all impressions should just be heavy metal musician mothers, because that's my new favorite thing.
I think that Joey from Manowar's mother is going to be held in my heart as the best thing that we've ever done on this show.
I want it on my tombstone.
So originally, this show, we were so stoked. We were going to have a big, big guest on. And that guy fucking bailed on us three times, including one time that I had to take a friend to the hospital and put it off so that I could talk to him. So, do we want to even mention who that is? I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Bruce Lamont of Yakuza.
So it's Bruce Jamont from Smamooza?
That's correct. That is correct.
Oh, wow. I know that guy.
The new year is here. When the folks are listening, that is going to be it. 2017 will hit. You can quit your tired, shitty, fuck you 2016 jokes that I never want to hear again, and start with the fuck you 2017 jokes that will definitely not get old as the year progresses.
I've been saying fuck you 2017 since somewhere around election day.
lots of people make New Year's resolutions because they realize that their life is veered the fuck off track, and it helps to have like a nice calendar date to restart everything and get everything back on track and quit being such a damn shit show all the time. Do you have any resolutions?
I know the tired and usual lose weight, get in shape is the thing everyone says, and then they give up somewhere around Valentine's Day when all the candy is in the stores. I'm going to slightly amend that and say maybe make better choices when it comes to going out and eating food, maybe not stuff myself with French fries, something like that. I know you're Mr. In Shape. Maybe you can give me some tips.
Nothing that would be particularly helpful. I think that maybe working out to the point where you can withstand those extra calories by lifting weights, you'll be turning that fat into gains in no time.
How about you just come where I am and you can be my personal trainer and you could just yell ignorant hardcore slogans at me like perseverance, through the thorns, against all opposition.
Now is the time for you to rise and do another set.
Yeah, I think that would help me out a lot.
I don't see where that would go wrong. Did you have any resolutions last year?
Nah, I mean, I never really do resolutions. I would like to try to learn another language. Through my real-world job, I actually am able to get Rosetta Stone, and I've just been putting it off for so long, so I'd like to at least try to give it a shot. For years, it's just been like, oh, one day I'll get Rosetta Stone. When I do that, then I'll learn. And now that I actually have access to it, I really have no excuse. So I'd like to at least give it a try.
Yeah, you could always learn the ancient romantic language of Italiano.
But you're my Italian language.
last year, I was like, I say it every year that resolutions are stupid. No one should do them. You're just setting yourself up for failure. But I silently made a resolution to myself that I would both write a book and write an album. And do you know how far I got on either one of those?
You never put pen to paper.
Correct. On either one of them. For some reason, this site is a productivity killer. In between recording the show and editing and trying to write dumb pieces to run throughout the day, really saps any will that I've got to write the next great American novel.
I'm curious, what was your book going to be about?
Honestly, have you ever heard of the 33 and a third book series?
I have not. Reading's for suckers, so no.
Yeah, I totally agree, which is why I like these books, because they're so small. they're basically a small book that is entirely about one record. There are like 100 entries now. D.X. Ferris wrote one of the most popular ones with the Rain in Blood by Slayer book. But, you know, they've got shit from, like, The Replacements to The New Kids on the Block to, you know, Neil Young. It's all over the board. I wanted to pick a certain album and interview that musician and do a full dive on this book. And I could just never convince myself to do it.
Well, I think maybe you need to start off slow and create your own chick cartoon tracks and build up from there.
that is a good idea. I can publish a trade paperback of all of my hilarious and insightful musings of Christianity.
The evils of sharing the same soap bar in your house.
I mean, you don't want to do that. Think about where that's been, where you're going to put that on you. That's inviting Satan into your body.
It's everyone's butt is in your face every time you go to the shower. Why do you hate Jesus?
Did anything stick out in your mind? This is traditionally the worst week for anything to happen, because it's the last week of the year. Nobody cares about anything.
Usually it is, but today some news broke with a band that a lot of people on Toilet Hell are fans of. Vector has essentially broken up.
Wow, I did not know that.
Oh, get with the news, yes. Everyone except for the main guy left.
Vector, of course, was the they were the Toilet Hell community choice. They put out the best record of 2016 according to the readers of the Toilet of Hell. So this is a hell of a shocker. So what happened?
Pulling it up now, 2 seconds.
So I've got I've got Vector's page in front of me. Their pinned post, Dave, says that, "I apologize to anyone who's concerned about the post from earlier today. Vector is not stopping. I started writing Vector songs in 1999, and I am still writing Vector songs. As long as I live, Vector will not die. I appreciate everything that Blake, Frank, and Eric have done to help this ship take off. I also appreciate all of my bandmates before them, Willie, Pablo, Adam, Mike, and Kian. See you on the road, Dave." So essentially Dave is saying here, I don't need these losers. This is my ship, and I am going to run it.
Yeah, the guitarist left, the bassist left, and the drummer left. When you know a majority of the band leaves all at the same time, that something went down and has been going on for a long time. This wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision.
That is a very Mustaine move. I don't know. I suppose it would be inappropriate for us to, you know, make any kind of conjecture what happened, but we should do it anyway.
Well, usually a lot of the times it has to deal with money.
Money. They, speaking of Mustaine, they had some run-in with Megadeth earlier this year. Is that correct?
I believe. Yeah, didn't they? They have an issue with his son's management company?
Yeah, so they got booted off the tour bill with Megadeth. So maybe there's something there. Maybe there's a nugget of truth. We got to put on our Sherlock Holmes hats and start digging for dirt.
And their little pipes.
Or maybe it's just that Dave's farts smell really bad and nobody wants to be in a van with him anymore.
Well, the list of people who are no longer in a band with him seem to be growing. So you might be onto something.
I'm going to ask everybody, Blake, Frank, Eric, Willie, Pablo, Adam, and Mike. But fuck Kian. I don't trust that guy. I don't like his name.
If I can't pronounce it, I don't want to talk to you.
Wow, that is news. In addition to a slate of celebrity deaths, that's pretty packed last week of the year.
2016 just can't leave well enough alone.
Yeah, I'm sure that 2017 will be fine, and no actors or musicians that anybody likes is going to die.
Oh yeah, 2017 is just going to be awesome. No problems whatsoever. I couldn't think of a thing that would happen that would greatly alter the trajectory of not only the country but the world.
What do you have that you can predict that will happen this year?
In 2017, former members of Obituary will create a new band where they play just classic Obituary songs, and they will be called Obitch.
What else is in store for us in 2017?
Varg will divorce his Aryan princess wife and marry his anime pillow.
The true Nordic waifu. What is it about these fucking Nazi dweebs that love Japan culture?
It seems to be a growing trend among them, too.
I think it's been around for a while. The dude from Satanic War Master both loves Nazi bullshit and anime bullshit. He was one of the originators of the alt-right incel nerd movement.
He's an OG weeb?
OG weeb. Nazi weeb. Weeb-a-zy. Nazi weeb.
I guess between the Nazism and the anime, both are steeped in complete and utter fantasy, so maybe there's a connection there.
There has to be. What is this phenomenon? For a future episode, we should do a full deep dive into this phenomenon. What do you think?
I think our readers should write up proposals and come back to us with their thoughts on this. Maybe get like a little incubator going on of deep thoughts.
Yes, the Toilet of Hell think tank. It's a toilet tank, of course. cool. What, I'm looking forward to that. Mazel tov to he and his body pillow.
L'chaim. He just picks up the pillow and breaks the glass with it.
I would love if he would go ahead and convert to the tribe as well.
We don't want him.
I would definitely. Wait. I'd send him $5 in the mail for his bris.
Well, I could say he'll get his circumcision, and then we'll tell him it didn't take, and he's not allowed in. You call that a penis?
Oh, that's brutal. I'm all for it. What else do you predict will happen in the upcoming year?
In 2017, Phil Anselmo will come up with another excuse for his shouting of white power. He will blame it on his He-Man impression, and then he meant to say, I have the power, and not white power.
Ooh, I like that one. You know, the Master Lord, rest in peace, our dearly departed boy, he wrote an amazing post about the initial Dime Bash incident. It was during our Dave Grohl week on the site, where we publish way too many fake stories about Dave Grohl. I don't think that the Master Lord knows a single Foo Fighters song, so it makes this even better that he kept writing out white wine is better than Jew wine to the tune of There Goes My Hero, and I sing it to myself in my head like every day.
White wine
is better than Jew wine.
As long as that stays in your head and you don't go walking around the streets screaming at the top of your lungs.
Or, you know, on stage in front of hundreds of people and video cameras.
Oy vey.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to happen. That is literally going to happen.
Set your watch to it.
Yep. Again, like last show, I said it, and I still, two shows ago, I said it, and I still stand behind it. He's going to become born again, because when you get born again, you can be forgiven for literally anything. So he's going to start wearing all white suits, you know, preaching the gospel, man.
Hashtag blessed.
And like, I can't think of a bigger cash cow. Like, I mean, of course, Pantera is a cash cow, but imagine like, somebody of that kind of clout making new contemporary Christian rock. Like, he's going to print money.
I'd like to see it happen just to watch the reactions of the Pantera meatheads, like trying to grapple with the they love Pantera, but they're still angry at their parents for making them go to church when they were kids, and just the inner struggle of trying to deal with it.
I don't want to, you know, speak for this demographic too much, but I think that, like, say the Zakk Wylde fans of the world aren't opposed to Christianity as long as it's of the white variety.
Hmm. Another paper for the readers of Toilet of Hell to write.
you guys have lots of work to do.
Yeah, you're gonna have a busy 2017, guys.
What else do we got?
In 2017, Iced Earth will release a concept album about making sweet, sweet love to the American Constitution.
I love it. What are these guys going to do now that Obama's not in office? They won't have anybody to blame for all of their personal failings.
I am sure they will come up with something or someone or some sort of group of people.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's got to be the illegals, right? Like, that's the next one.
Yeah, and then they'll claim it's not racist because Mexico isn't the country.
I don't know. I'm not a graphologist, mapologist, but that might not be true.
In 2017, Dream Theater will release a tabletop RPG. It will take 2 years to complete it.
I hope that happens. Is the Astonishing the video game out yet?
I think so.
I think so as well, and I haven't played it, but I think I need to, both for my own personal curiosity and for a future installment on the site.
I have a good idea. We should do a Let's Play with their video game.
Oh my god, we have to do that. We have to do that. The readers, they want video content. They don't want to be readers, they want to be watchers. We'll give it to them.
Oh, this is such a good / terrible idea.
Write that one. So far, this show is heavy on future content. So if you're catching this episode, our first of the year, the first episode of season two of the Toilet of Hell radio show, you got a good idea of what you can expect for this year. And so far, it seems like you are in for a wealth of riches.
This is the season of the podcast where stuff starts to get real and like people really get into it. The first season, people were like, not quite sure. They're like, oh, I'll check it out. I'll keep watching. And now it's getting serious.
Oh, hell yeah. This is, did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
No.
Okay. The first season is fucking stupid garbage and it should be burned. But the second season is pretty good. This is that season.
I look forward to us getting canceled, but then getting brought back on Netflix.
I think that's where the money is.
It is. That's where all the viewers are too.
Yeah. So yeah, hit us up. We're open to negotiation. We're not in this for the money. We're in it for the bitches.
And the glory.
And the glory, that too, yeah.
In 2017, Elon Musk will put out a metal album. It will explode upon first listen.
Oh, you burnt Elon Musk.
I hope you. I don't trust him.
I don't either. Well, I don't trust any billionaire, to be fair.
I've read too many comic books and know too much about people like Lex Luthor who have this outward appearance. Same with like Kingpin, where they're a philanthropist and they give all their money away and they're building all useful things. And then they're really trying to kill Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So he blew up Zuckerberg's satellite, right?
Yes.
Those two are going to get into a billionaire battle, and it will be awesome, except that it will have millions of, you know, poor civilians will be casualties.
And then it'll devolve into just like the worst slap fight. Like they'll turn their heads and just kind of slap away at each other and just yell, stop it. It'll be good.
There isn't like 10 pounds of muscle between those two nerds.
Oh, they deserve each other.
They definitely do. We deserve a better class of billionaire. I mean, is Elon Musk really the best that we can get? Him and like Warren Buffett, who's like, I don't buy new shoes. Fuck you, dude. Like, why did you compulsively amass billions of dollars so you could be a lame moron?
Well, I don't know. I I guess money doesn't not make you a moron. I don't know. we're both poor. Like, how are we supposed to know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, if I had $1 billion, I would do all kinds of crazy shit. I would recreate, like, Titanfall in real life.
Yeah, I think you do get some of those people who, like, suddenly have an influx of a lot of money, and a lot of them are just, like, douchey Instagram bros where they'll get a tank and throw naked models off of roofs into pools and break their legs.
That's Dan Bilzerian guy. Is who you're thinking of. No, what's great is that he didn't do anything to make his own money. He inherited all from his dad. So when you see motivational posters of some bearded douchebag, like, if you think it, you can do it, like, just remember that the way that you do it is that your dad be arrested several times for corruption and insider trading, and then you inherit all of his money when he dies.
Well, that'll always be the dream, but I don't see that happening for me anytime soon.
Yeah, I think my family is all broke, and I deeply resent them for that.
No one's going to be giving us a small loan of $1 million to start our first company.
And that's the thing. Can you imagine how good our site would be if we had some money?
The Toilet of Hell VIP lounge would be in full effect.
I'll tell you what, if I ever did actually have money, I probably never would have gotten into metal to begin with. I would have had, like, actual class.
And the final 2017 prediction: Facebook will honor Machine Head by changing their "On This Day" feature to "From This Day."
Nice.
Do you have any 2017 predictions?
Man, I can predict that your Facebook feed, once every 3 weeks, will be filled with people saying, "RIP actor who died at the age of 78. Too soon. Really makes you think. So sad right now."
Yeah, that's a pretty safe prediction.
Fuck you, 2017.
This is the worst year ever. No one else has died before this year.
If the meme of 2016 being like a garbage fire is only going to intensify as predictably awful things happen this year. And truly awful things will happen this year. Trump will take over the presidency. Supposedly the UK will finally separate from the EU. France may elect a fascist. Lots of innocent people are going to have bad things happen to them, and lots of rich people will have good things happen to them, which is a bad thing. I predict nothing good will happen this year.
Well, I want to amend that slightly, because in 2017 is going to be the presidential inauguration, and they have no bands that are willing to play this thing beyond, like, Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, and, like, a 16-year-old opera singer.
Oh, Frank Stallone gladly offered his services to perform. That's it. Seriously, he said that he would pay for his flight and everything.
Oh, what a good guy.
That man, Frank Stallone.
We should get him on the show. He's got nothing to do.
So I was talking with someone about this the other night, and I can't remember who, because my mind is a puddle of goo. But Frank Stallone apparently has a treasure trove of rare classic guitars that would, like, would make any guitarist weep openly. He was interviewed by, I can't remember who it was, where he was showing off his collection of, like, $30,000-$40,000 guitars. And all I could think was, that's really sweet that Sly would buy them for him.
Yeah. Does he know how to play guitar?
Yeah, I mean, like, he has been a musician, wink wink, since the 80s, but he's not good.
Someone's seen him hold a guitar and he could play a chord progression.
That's pretty much how I would think it is. I don't think he's as good as Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal's a surprisingly decent guitarist.
Yeah, if you like authentic blues, you'll love Steven Seagal.
Authentic blues, terrible martial arts, and feeling better about your own personal appearance. Steven Seagal's your guy.
Authentic blues coming from an authentic Native American.
And a reincarnated Buddhist monk as well.
Oh, yeah, that too. And now I believe he's Russian or something. I think he accepted Russian citizenship.
Citizenship, yep. And he has also had his own energy drink for a brief time.
Gross.
And there are weird names. Hold on, let me see if I could look this up. Entertain the people.
So, people, not Sylvester Stallone, I apologize. Steven Seagal put out an album in the 90s called, I believe it was Music from the Crystal Cave. And I highly recommend you Google that right now to see the most passionate ponytailed man on earth wearing some kind of Asian muumuu while bending the shit out of a single guitar note. It's awesome, man.
So I don't think these are around anymore, but going to Seagalology.com, which is a very real website that I didn't just make up, he had three flavors of his Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink. There was Root Beer Rush, Cherry Charge, and I don't even want to know what this tastes like, Asian Experience.
I want that sounds so illegal.
It sounds like a porno. Taste Steven Seagal's Asian Experience.
That's some Craigslist shit. Like, if you want this, it costs 50 rose petals.
Close your eyes, open your mouth, and get ready to taste Steven Seagal's Asian Experience.
I am currently Googling like mad, trying to find a can for sale so that we can test this out on the air.
Whenever I go to a dollar store, a relatively cheap place, I always keep my eye out for a can.
Oh, man, it's got ginseng, goji berry. Like, this is all very important.
First energy drink to contain Asian cordyceps. I don't even know what that is.
I'm glad that you asked. Asian cordyceps are said to be one of the most rare and treasured herbs used in Chinese and Tibetan medicine. Seagal discovered the benefits of cordyceps while researching immune builders in Asia. Ooh. Cordyceps are used to promote energy, vitality, and longevity. This rare herb will only grow in isolated regions of Asia in areas above 3,000 meters. Studies show that in addition to immunity response, cordyceps can decrease blood pressure, improve bioenergy status of the liver, and promote endurance.
So it's ground up tiger penis.
Yes, that is exactly it. I must have it.
There might be some on Amazon. I'm checking right now.
It's sold
it's
out.
Of stock.
Yeah,
damn
man.
It. 2016 is the worst.
It really is. By the way, I typed in Google Steven Seagal Lightning Bolt Energy Drink. The top related search to this was cordyceps. I'm pretty sure they invented this.
What, you don't trust Professor Seagal?
I'll give you a prediction for 2017, and that is that I will get my hands on a can of this shit and drink this on the air.
I've never wanted anything more to happen in my life.
It must happen. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Go!
That's right. For a few brief shining moments, this new year is pure. You haven't fucked it all up yet. This show is still good. We haven't yet fucked it up, although we are going to really, really quickly, especially when I try to conduct a fake interview with a guy who didn't show up. Please tell me about this festival that you found, 365.
So over the past like month or so, people may have noticed that a lot of festivals have already started announcing their lineups. I think Psycho Las Vegas came out with a whole bunch of bands. A lot of the European festivals have already come out with their lineups. A lot of the American festivals have come out as well, but they're all like the same 10 to 15 bands that are playing on all of them. This one is a little different, though. It's called Rock Into Spring Festival, and it's taking place sometime in April of 2017 in Las Vegas. And I'll just read a couple of the bands that are playing over the 3 days. Crazy Town.
Oh, yes. Is Shifty Shellshock still in the band?
Is it really a band if you don't have Shifty Shellshock?
No, I mean, nothing matters unless Shifty's there.
DJ Lethal, who you may remember from Limp Bizkit.
Also of House of Pain, I believe.
Yes, he's had a long, industrious career of wiki-wikiing with some terrible people.
If you had the Rushmore, Mount Rushmore of wiki-wikiing, he would be somewhere on there, like maybe a Abe Lincoln. He's the Abe Lincoln of wiki-wikiing.
Gemini Syndrome, who you may recall I did a video breakdown of a couple months ago on the website. Or not, if you don't read the website, whatever. A band called Art of Anarchy, which I don't know if I've ever heard of, but the name is so generic that I might have.
Yeah, I'm sure that you've avoided their song at a Gold's Gym sometime in the last couple of years.
Sick Puppies.
That sounds terrible. Actually, I have ignored their music at a Gold's Gym before. I remember seeing that.
Trapped.
Perfect. The soundtrack to every over-the-top bro action movie for about a solid decade.
And it always manages to find its way into just about every major sports event, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough in a generic way without being threatening.
And just one more, I'll announce that people have heard of Bobaflex, who I've also done a video breakdown of.
Yeah, there's a couple of these that I would have never heard of without you writing about them.
I'm sorry. So with this new metal festival, like, new metal bands are still kind of kicking around here and there. Are there any that you would like to see on this festival?
I think I'd like to see Korn and Limp Bizkit, but not, like, you know, separately. I want Korn and Limp Bizkit on stage rapping together, All in the Family from Follow the Leader. If you guys don't remember that song, here's a brief reminder. You call yourself a singer, yep. You're more like Jerry Springer. Oh, cool. Your favorite band is Winger, and all you eat is Zingers. You're like a fruity pebble, your favorite flag is Rebel. It's just too bad that you're a faggot on a lower level. So you're from Jacksonville, kicking it like Buffalo Bill. Getting butt-fucked by your Uncle Chuck, while your sister's on her knees waiting for your little big nut. That's the good stuff.
Yes.
I would also like Aaron Lewis to stop being a hillbilly tea party asshole for a brief moment to go back to the early rap rock of Stained, just because I think it'd be really funny.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants to. Like, somewhere deep down inside, once he gets tired of taking out his pickup truck on the muddy roads of central Massachusetts when he's passing by the Basketball Hall of Fame on the way to Golden Corral, I'm sure he just wants to get up on stage and do a shovel. Or is it Mud Shovel?
Mud Shovel. What was the hit? Yeah, that was the one. You know, for like a 10-year-old Joe, that was a pretty fucking baller song.
See, there was Mud Shovel, but then there was also a new metal band named Shovel.
Inspired entirely by Mud Shovel by Stain, I'm sure.
And it was spelled S-H-U-V-E-L. So you can see where the confusion might come in. I want to see, I think Nonpoint should be on this. I want Mudvayne to get back together and be on this. I think they should have a live hologram of Wayne Static on this.
Would a hologram Wayne Static generate enough interest to justify all of the programming effort that went into it?
I think it would be a good project for, like, first year freshman computer graphics designers and
you're gonna end up with a Minecraft Wayne Static, just a series of blocks on top of each other.
I think people would be into that. I mean, apparently they're doing the Ronnie James Dio hologram tours in the works for the coming year.
I've heard that, and that is deeply disappointing. Would you go see a hologram if it came to a arena near you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, same. Because I respect all the things Dio did, even though that I much prefer all of the Ozzy material better. But I don't want to see, like, a dead man. Like, I want to see a flesh and blood person doing it, you know?
Yeah, there's not even, like, a weirdness factor that, like, you can be like, $15, why not? It's not far away. This is probably going to be in some big venues and be expensive. And, like, it's slightly above seeing a tribute band, really.
I would rather go see, like, the Pink Floyd Laser Light Show, and I fucking despise Pink Floyd.
I'd rather see Mini Kiss.
Okay, I would absolutely do that. I don't like Kiss either, but... yeah, I'd see that.
Is there anyone else that we want to see on this festival from our shameful nu metal days? I mean, Orgy and Power Man 5000 are going on tour this year. It's entirely possible it's going to happen.
Can we get Orgy on the show?
Do you want to get the original member, or do you just want to get the guy who joined a year ago and she's like, yeah, I don't know, I just play keyboards?
I got a lot of questions for the guy that just joined Orgy in 2016.
It would be very different from the questions you'd ask the main guy who's been doing it for 20 years and whose Kickstarter failed hilariously and miserably.
I got a lot of questions for both of them. So, Orgy, if you're listening, come on the show. We'll, we'll send you a couple of soup cans.
Clean off the pizza crumbs from your chest, put on your nicest pair of sweatpants, and come talk to us.
that offer is extended to anybody on this new metal tour as well, festival. If you would like to come on and wiki with us, we will certainly ooh-nah-nah with you.
Mr. Shellshock, can I call you Shifty? Oh, now I want to make this happen now. Oh, boy.
It's coming. Season 2, everything's bigger and better. Due to some complications that we did not foresee, unfortunately, Bruce Lamont of Yakuza, Bloodiest, Corrections House, etc., was unable to join us on this episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. We had set up 3 different times to interview with him, and he failed to show up for any one of them, so... unfortunately, he's not on the show, but we do have his saxophone. Please welcome to the show, Bruce Lamont Saxophone. How you doing, Bruce Lamont Saxophone? Yeah, so glad to have you here. Bummer we couldn't have Bruce, you know, along with you. Did he have any explanation for missing out on those 3 separate interview slots? Because I... definitely had to take a friend to the hospital during the second one, but I waited for the allotted time to finish so that he could show up, and he, of course, never did. No, well, that's not a terribly great answer. Hey, I was wondering, when I was doing some research about Bruce's career for this interview, I noticed that he did an interview with Death Metal Underground last year. For those that are unfamiliar, Death Metal Underground is a blog that is written by and pretty much caters exclusively to Nazis and metal. If you believe that homosexuality is some kind of mental illness, if you believe that Jews are lesser than, normal white dudes, Death Metal Underground is a site for you. So I was wondering, why did you speak with those guys? Were you not familiar with their background? I see. That's how it is. That is really disconcerting. How can you feel that way? Oh, I am disgusted. Get off this show. I will not have you give your horrific opinions anymore. Get out. Get out.
Never meet your heroes, kids.
The nerve of that guy. Ugh. I've never knocked on wood, but I know someone who has, and that person is you, because you saw a show the other day.
I did. I went to a show last night, actually. It wasn't a metal show. It wasn't a hardcore show. It wasn't even a rock and roll show. It was a ska show. In 2016, I saw a ska show. And let me tell you, ska is very much still alive, at least for one night, as I went to see the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, the Scottalites, and the Planet Smashers.
Did you drop it, or did you pick it up?
Oh, I made sure to pick it up at multiple times. I got tickets for my girlfriend. This was her holiday gift. Big fan of the Boss Tones, and both of us are big fans of the opening band, the Planet Smashers. They're a French-Canadian ska band, been around since like the mid-90s, so we shipped on up to Boston and avoided all the Tom, Dick, and Sullys that frequent the city, avoided their Boston Red Sox hats, avoided their permanent 5 o'clock shadows, avoided all them saying that they let Tom Brady have them if he wanted.
You fucking homos.
Oh, wicked bad. Big coffee.
Oh, Chris. Tell me, how was it? Also, is Dickie Barrett's voice just like broken glass in real life?
The show was a lot of fun. I had a blast during the Planet Smashers, one of my favorite bands, just going back to like seventh grade when I first discovered them on Much Music, the Canadian version of MTV. So they were great. They played for about 20, 25 minutes. So it was mostly hits. Had a lot of fun. Scottalites were real good. And then the Boss Tones played for like over an hour. I know a couple of songs, but everyone was super into it. I'm pretty sure this was a sold-out show at the House of Blues in Boston. Pretty big venue. And there were a lot of people in plaid. Plaid is kind of like the Boss Tones' color. There were at least four or five guys in legitimate plaid suits, top to bottom, plaid shirts, plaid ties. They're into the whole thing. Crowd was pretty good. A couple of unruly drunks and a few rude fucks. But other than that, it was good. And Boston's were still good. And Dickie's voice is like gravel, but that's part of his appeal, I guess.
Was there much skanking going on?
There was quite a fair amount of skanking. Lots of picking it up, lots of hips and knees dancing akimbo, as you would say. Didn't look like there were any fights. Few crowd surfers. It's kind of nice to go to a show and not really have to worry about getting spin kicked in the back of the head. And I got to hang out with the Planet Smashers for a while. I'm such a fan that I have their very first cassette tape, and I showed it to the singer slash guitarist. And it was one of those genuine moments when you show someone and their mind is blown. It's not like, oh, hey, cool, thanks. It was like, whoa, oh my God, how do you have this? Huh. So he signed it. We, you know, took a picture. It was really cool. And then they invited me and my girlfriend up to Montreal when they have a show sometime in the spring. He's like, yeah, just let me know. We'll get you backstage and stuff. So we'll see if that happens. But all in all, a pretty good night.
That sounds awesome. It's funny, until you mentioned that cassette thing, I had forgotten myself. The first cassette I ever bought with my own money was the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones' Let's Face It.
So, hey, it all comes full circle.
Everything is, time is a flat circle, man. And we're all tremendous nerds.
I think the first cassette I ever had was the Scorpions, the one with Wind of Change on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
For whatever reason, I might have been like 4 or 5 years old when the song came out. But as a real little kid, I really loved that song. And to this day, when I hear it, I get like super nostalgic about it.
The first cassette I ever got, because I demanded it, was Green Jelly's 333.
Well, that's a good one to have.
Yeah, I was a little kid and heard the Bear song, and I was like, fuck yeah. I must have been like 7 or 8 years old. Do you remember the first CD you ever bought?
The first one that I ever got was Live Throwing Copper.
Interesting. That album must have sold like 10 billion records, I think.
Yeah, I was one of the billion. Yeah, it was 1994. The college alt rock was actually being played on the radio, and a bunch of their songs were on it. Lightning Crashes, Selling the Drama. And as a little kid, I liked it.
That was definitely a Yarling band.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Lightning Crashes, you'll rather die. That's going to make a research. Okay, another prediction. Yarling is coming back in a big way in 2017.
You're not wrong, because I read just recently Live has reunited and is going to tour and put out a new album.
Why do we have these skills? Why do we have these abilities?
Why, God, why?
The first CD I ever bought was Hello Nasty by the Beastie Boys. That must have been like 1998, maybe 1999.
What was the first metal album you ever got?
Man, that is a really good question. I picked up a whole bunch all at once. I think the first current one I ever bought was Guerrilla Radio by Rage Against the Machine.
Like, interesting.
When that came out, I bought it immediately because I heard the single. I was like, yes, I'm so mad and I'm so want to listen to this.
You were ready to turn that shit up.
I was. How about you?
They wouldn't consider themselves metal, but Monster Magnet's Power Trip album was like the first heavy album that I bought.
That we reviewed on an episode of this show.
And people should go back and listen to it right now.
Yeah, episode 20? I don't know. Who keeps count?
Somewhere around there.
You know, we never decided what we would watch for our next viewing series on our last episode. Do we want to go ahead and make an assignment for the next episode for something that we can all watch this week and then talk about it the next week?
It's your turn, so the floor is yours.
I saw a movie last year around Christmas time that is so good, and I want us to start the year with it. Have you ever heard of the film Last Ounce of Courage?
I don't think so.
It is a deeply, deeply Christian movie.
Oh, which, great.
Yeah. It's got...
Is Kirk Cameron in it?
He is not in it, but I would not be surprised at all if he had his stupid little fingers in it somehow. I'll tell you what, though. Fred Williamson is in it. He is he's the bad black guy because, of course. No, it's about a guy who is a patriot, number one, a pharmacist, number two, but above it all, a God-fearing Christian. And he is saving a town from removing Christmas and inspiring a whole lot of people along the way. What do you say?
Well, I say no, but I will say yes this one time. I Googled it now just because I was curious. And the little description, a grieving father who lost his son on the battlefield challenges his fellow citizens to take back the freedoms they have lost. And I'm a little disappointed because it has the release date is September 14th. Why would you not release it on September 11th?
I think that that's probably because these people lack the moral integrity to do what's right on September 11th.
Why do they hate America?
I don't know why they hate America, but on next week's episode, we are all going to experience last ounce of courage and figure out exactly what went wrong. You can find this movie. Oh, I'm pretty sure you can find it anywhere. I watched it on YouTube.
If you Google Last Ounce of Courage, it's one of the first things that come up is a link on YouTube.
Yeah,
for the whole movie.
Yeah, Last Ounce of Courage 2012. If you type that into YouTube, you can watch the entire film. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give you a little spoiler alert right now. It's tough. It is a tough movie because it is so true.
It received a meaty 11% on Metacritic and a 4.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah. Turn off your brain, turn on Last Sounds of Courage, and then next week we'll talk about it.
It will take every ounce of strength to get through Last Ounce of Courage.
That is a true fact. You're going to hate this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be so much fun.
I already feel bad about myself.
No, we are going to have a lot of fun with this. I guarantee it. So everyone, watch this movie. We'll do it next time. Thanks so much for joining us today. And yeah, let's kick it in next week.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.